Well, I'd like you to open your Bibles with me. We're on our journey to the end of Acts, and at the end of Acts, in chapter 28, Paul, having declared the kingdom of God, then quotes the most often quoted Old Testament verse in the New Testament. And I was going to read that verse, in verse 25, but, well, let's go back to verse 24. And some believed the things which were spoken. Some believed about the kingdom of God. Some believed Paul's testimony concerning Jesus. Some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet. I love what that word well means. It means beautifully spoke the Holy Spirit. Finally, excellently, right, so that there is no blame to him. Well, honestly spoke the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. And here he is quoting from Isaiah chapter 6, and it's Isaiah's commission. Go unto this people and say, hearing they shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that salvation, the salvation of God, is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he'd said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, with all boldness, no man forbidding him. So those words from Isaiah are quoted in the 4 Gospels, and they're quoted in Acts here and in Romans. And the theme of those words that we have just read are repeated throughout the scriptures. So I'd like us to turn back to Isaiah chapter 6, and we'll spend most of our time in Isaiah chapter 6 this morning. I want us to begin this year looking at the declaration of who our God is. I want us to look, and I trust the Lord might cause us to see the depths of the seriousness of what it is for us to have a God who is holy, a God who is holy. Isaiah chapter 6 is only 13 verses, so we might take time to read them all. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Before we go much further, I want us to turn to John chapter 12, so we have no doubt in our minds whatsoever whom it was that Isaiah saw. In John chapter 12, in verse 37, and we might see the context of this in terms of why Isaiah quoted these words, but verse 37 of John chapter 12, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? You might recall that's the beginning of Isaiah chapter 53. Therefore, they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah, when he saw his glory and spoke of him. So let's be in absolutely no doubt that the scriptures are saying that Isaiah saw the Lord Jesus Christ. If you see God, no man will see God. If you see God, you'll see God in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the year that King Uzziah died, back to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain, with two, he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain did he fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Yet, in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and be eaten, shall be eaten, as a teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Isaiah is commissioned to go and preach. People aren't going to listen to him. And yet, the Lord will have a remnant there, and I love how this passage of scripture, which is full of heaviness, The holy seed shall be the substance thereof. So I trust, which hymn are we going to sing next time? I'm sorry I didn't write down the numbers.
Is it a worship hymn?
I think it is, yeah. Which number is that?
Number
18. Thank you. Let's sing. Isaiah was brought to worship the King, and I trust that the Lord might cause that to be our portion this morning. I worship the King, all glorious above. I gratefully sing his power and his love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendour and girded with praise. Thanks, Tom.
Girded with praise, oh, tell of
To the Lord for each and every one of you, and I'm so thankful that He's raised up a place where we can contemplate these things, contemplate the character of our God, contemplate the wonder of His salvation. And one of the things that is always, always so critical in our knowledge of God is that the more we see the character of God, the true character of God as revealed from the Scriptures, the more we will be amazed and we will esteem the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says, when I'm lifted up, He'll draw all, it says, to Himself. He'll draw all His people to Him, but when we're drawn to Him, we're drawn to a God who is absolutely holy, is perfectly just. And I might remind you yet again that this is the last Holy Spirit recorded apostolic testimony to the Jews. I'm not saying for one moment that they weren't witnessed to by John for another 40 years, and I'm not saying that they weren't written to by the apostles, and I'm not saying for one moment that there were any of those things, but I'm saying that this is the last Holy Spirit recorded apostolic witness, personal witness to the Jewish nation. And so these are the closing words of God to the Jews. The other thing I want us to know, of course, is that I want us to see as time goes on this morning, and I trust the Lord might show it to us, but the Jews in the Scriptures are emblematic of a world that professes belief in God and professes worship of God and professes relationship with God and blessings from God, and they don't know Him. They don't know Him. This is salvation, says the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. And so what a remarkable beginning Isaiah has when he describes the sins of the people of Israel, and he says, though your sins, we read this last week, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. This is a remarkable time, isn't it? God says, come, let us reason together. Come, let us reason together. I'm going as the Lord enables me to present the character of God as He is revealed in this book to you today, and in revealing the character of God, your character is revealed. But what a remarkably blessed time for us to have God reveal Himself in His Word. And may the Spirit bless our words this morning, bless our time. And of course, as well as this being a depiction of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a depiction of the glory of His salvation. And our God, I want you to know again that our God never changes. There's nothing in this creation, nothing about Him that will ever change. He cannot change. He need not change. Nothing can cause him to change. In fact, all of this creation is about the exaltation of his character. All about the gathering of church is about the exaltation of the character of our God. Isaiah saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw him as he really is. He saw him as people will see him when they leave this world. People are leaving this world in countless multitudes, day by day. And when they leave this world, they meet this God. They meet this God. He is given the nations for his possession. He has sovereign right of rule over all things. So I want us to begin in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1, and this is a very significant beginning. Isaiah has written five chapters of declarations of the gospel, declarations of the woes of God upon the people of Israel, and again, as with all the prophets, an exhibition of their willful rebellion against God, an exhibition of the fact that they set up a religious system that looked as if in many ways it honoured God. And God says that he's tired of their religious activities. He's tired of their religious activities. But Isaiah has a special meeting with God, and it's a special time. And if you meet with God, there'll be a special time, and you will mark that special time. In the year, verse 1 of Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, it's about 740 BC, so we have a pretty accurate timeline for it. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So I want you to turn back with me just briefly to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, and let's read about Uzziah. Uzziah was one of the most esteemed kings in all of Israel. He reigned for 52 years from the time he was 16, so he was an old man when these events that Isaiah is referring to. He's an old man of 68 years of age when these things happened. His father had reigned for 29 years. His father, 25 years. So together they had reigned for over 80 years. And back in 25, verse, in In 2 Chronicles 25 verse 27, it says, "Now that after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him and they slew him," it says, "and they brought him and they buried him with his father in the city of Judah." So Uzziah was made king. Verse 1 it says, "Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah." 16 years old, he was a king, a teenager and a king. And he was a king for 52 years. We'll just look at him. In verse 5, it speaks well of Uzziah. "And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." Down in verse 7, it says, "And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelled in Gur Baal and the Mehuims." God made him. God gave him military power, and he had an army, it says. He had an army of 307,500 men with 2,600 chiefs of the army. In verse 15, he was a military engineer. He was an extraordinary man. He's not only a military engineer, but he was a great horticulturalist and farmer and manager of those things. And he built special machines, it says. He made in Jerusalem, verse 15, engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and bulwarks to shoot arrows. So he made these machines that could shoot a multitude of arrows all at the same time, and great stones. He made these machines to throw great stones. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvellously helped till he was strong. Till he was strong. Verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. His heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. He says, now I'm a king. I've been a king for 50 odd years. I have reigned successfully and God has helped me. And now I can go into the temple of God. I can go into the temple of God. And I can burn incense. Quite simply, Uzziah's crime against God is he presumed in his pride that he could go into the presence of God and worship God without the Lord Jesus Christ interceding for him. His heart was lifted up to destruction and he went into the temple to burn incense. See, that's what Uzziah's a picture of all sinners. He's a picture of Isaiah, and he's a picture of us, isn't he? You shall be as gods. So what a great opportunity this man had to be as gods from 16 years of age. And what extraordinary blessings he had through all of his life. But Satan says to us, you shall be gods. You'll be master of your own destiny. I'll determine good and evil. I'll have good and evil. I'll have free will. I will be master. And when you meet with it in rebellion against men, against other men, it causes us, should, I trust, cause us to be humbled by the fact that that's exactly what we are. We want to be high and lifted up. He went into the temple to burn incense. And look what happened in verse 17. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests. 81 priests went in with him. They were valiant men. They stood opposed to this 68-year-old king and said, you dare not come into the presence of God without the due in anything other than the due order. Valiant men. Verse 19. Uzziah was wroth. Uzziah was angry. And he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. God struck him with leprosy. Leprosy is, of course, in the scriptures, a picture of sin. Verse 20, and they thrust him out. They thrust him out hence. And now Uzziah wants to go out. He hasted to go out because the Lord had smitten him. Verse 21, and Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death and dwelt in a several house. He dwelt in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off. And I want you to take note of that word. He was cut off from the land, from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of burial which belonged to the king. And they said, he is a leper. He was a leper until his death. So for Isaiah, who was a man possibly in his 30s, at this time, maybe a little bit older, All of his life and all the prosperity of the nation Israel was tied up under the hand of this remarkable king who was so, so highly esteemed. And yet, this man, who had been blessed of God in the most remarkable ways, died as a sinner under the judgment of God, a leper. And there are some really fundamental lessons that we learn, and Isaiah will learn them as he meets the Lord, and only people who meet the Lord will ever heed these lessons or ever learn them whatsoever. Uzziah's problem, wasn't it, was pride. When his heart was lifted up, so the pride of his heart, Obadiah says, the pride of your heart has deceived you. Pride of his heart. And then he was presumptuous, wasn't he? See, evident blessings from God should be humbling. Wherever there is in those who profess the name of the Lord Jesus and profess relationship with the Lord Jesus, wherever there isn't humbling, there ought to be trembling in the people watching on. God's people are humbled in the presence of God. Uzziah, after 52 years of extraordinary blessings, was made to be proud. And Uzziah, the other lesson, of course, and I want us to think about all this in light of the fact that when Paul quoted these words of Isaiah chapter 6 to these Jewish people here, he was speaking of God's judgment upon the nation Israel, upon those people who claimed to worship God, but claimed to worship God exactly as Uzziah did. They claimed to worship God without going through the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. They claimed to worship God without a blood sacrifice. They claimed to worship God without God's priest. They claimed to worship God ignoring God's prophet. Uzziah is a picture of the Jews. He's a picture of all of us. And see, Uzziah was warned, wasn't he? He was warned by people that loved him and respected him and cared for him. And Uzziah, when he was warned, was angry rather than humbled. He had a hardness of heart, and his forehead pictured that, didn't it? And the warnings of God were unheeded. God struck him in his forehead, with leprosy. And there was no healing available for Uzziah. You might recall that Jeroboam was struck with leprosy by the prophet who told him that what he was doing up there in Israel with his calves that he's made to worship God, mimicking the worship of God in Jerusalem in the temple. Jeroboam was struck with leprosy, but he was healed. He pleaded to the Lord and he was healed. You might recall that Moses' sister Miriam was struck with leprosy, and Moses interceded for her and she was healed. Uzziah remained a leper till the day he died. There are some really fundamental lessons, aren't there, in the story of Uzziah, and the story of Uzziah is critical to understanding what happened to Isaiah in that temple. It was in that year that King Uzziah died. Isaiah was going to learn that you don't go into the presence of God by just going into the presence of God. You go into the presence of God in and through a priest, in and through a blood sacrifice. You go into the presence of God in the due order. That's what Uzzah, who put his hand on the ark to restrain it from what he thought it was doing when it might have fallen off a cart, he touched the ark, didn't he? He wanted to lay his hands of his own activities to the work of God, and God struck him down. You only go into God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll only know anything of God if he has revealed it to you. You come into his presence as he reveals himself to you. You come to him. You can't do anything, says the Lord Jesus Christ, without me. You can't come into the presence of God without the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't pray a prayer that is heard without the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't have fellowship with God without the Lord Jesus Christ. Without me, you can do nothing. God's people, like Isaiah, as we'll see, are shut up to the Lord Jesus Christ. Uzziah was cut off. When Isaiah saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "Woe is me, I'm undone, I'm cut off." The solution to being cut off is that the Lord Jesus Christ was cut off. He was cut off from the land of the living. He saw the Lord. See, when you see the Lord Jesus Christ, when you see God in his holiness, God's people will be brought to beg for mercy. They'll be stripped of everything that they are. Isaiah said, "Woe is me. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Why did he declare that? Verse 5, "For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Uzziah presumptuously came into the presence of God. He came into the presence of this holy God, and God struck him down. When Isaiah says, "Come, let us reason together," we're going to come into the presence of God. We stand in his presence right now. And the glorious thing about our God is that the very attributes of his character, which will strike terror into people on the day of judgment, the very attributes of God, his holiness and his justice and his mercy, his absolute sovereignty over all things, the very attributes of God are the greatest comforts of God's people. The fact that God is holy is the greatest comfort to the children of God. God in holiness. God in holiness slew his son. Isaiah was taught the gospel and he went out to proclaim the gospel. And that's what we are saying. That's what Paul was saying, wasn't he? When he spoke to those Jews, he was declaring the kingdom of God. He was declaring this king. He was declaring God holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, is the Lord of hosts. High and lifted up. High and lifted up. When we see him, we'll see ourselves as leprous. We'll see our righteousness as filthy rags. And then the Lord Jesus Christ will be precious and priceless. The Jews, with pride, presumed, as the religious world today, it presumes to come into the presence of God to mock his character, to believe that he owes them something because of their activities. But somehow, by their so-called legal obedience, they put God under some obligation to them. Our God is holy. I want for us to begin this year by contemplating the holiness of our God. Behold your God. This is the unchangeable, the immutable God. And when we see him, when we see him in the preaching of the gospel, we'll see the Lord Jesus Christ is precious. His blood is precious. His intercession is precious. I need a priest to go into this presence of this God with me. I need a king. I need him to rule all things. I need him to take away from me my desire to be a sovereign ruler of my life. I need him to be my prophet. I need him to see, for me to see that my lips need cleansing. My thoughts of God are vanity. Our thoughts of God are far too small. I love what Luther said to the Catholic Erasmus. He says, "Your thoughts of God are far too human. Your thoughts of God are far too human." See, Isaiah saw in Uzziah's death God's holiness. He saw that God is just that he must be just, that he's righteous, that he must punish sin. But Isaiah wonderfully and mercifully saw that in the Lord Jesus Christ, everything has been done for him. Everything has been done for him. We enter into the presence of God now with boldness, with confidence. We come by him. Uzziah's sin was to bypass the Lord Jesus Christ. The sins of the Jews was that they thought that they could worship God and bypass the truth and the character and the blood and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews in Rome had spent all these years opposing the gospel. They thought that they were worshipping God and could come into his presence bypassing the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Uzziah's presumption was theirs. Uzziah's presumption is the presumption of the religious world today. Uzziah's punishment will be theirs. See, Isaiah was made to see himself as Uzziah was. And Isaiah's salvation mirrors and pictures, doesn't it, the Paul's salvation. That he met God and he was humbled in the dust. And Isaiah's salvation and Paul's salvation is the same as all the salvation, is the salvation of all those who are made by the very presence of God, revealed as holy, to bow in worship to him. Uzziah was legally banished. Uzziah had an infectious disease in the very core of his being. You bring your works into the presence of God and you'll be like Uzziah was. The priest came with blood. The priest that went in there brought in the emblems of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Uzziah presumed that he could do it. See, Uzziah had no use for a priest. And God cut him off. That's something of the bad news. We might have a break and spend our time looking at the good news of what happens. Let's pray the Lord will grant us the grace to meet him as Isaiah did and Paul did, and all of the redeemed children of God did.